to answer. The question is, again, can God use me? I know that many people, I have felt before that maybe God just couldn't use me. I know that many people have asked that question. Can God use me? I don't sing. I don't speak. I don't do this. I can't teach. I'm afraid to get in front of people. I can't do this. I can't do that. Can God use me? I've sinned greatly. I've messed up. Can God use me? So we'd like to answer that question tonight. I know that many people feel insignificant to God, maybe even to other people. But I believe that Satan uses things against us to try to get us to believe that we are not usable. But I believe that everybody is, and that no one is insignificant to God. In fact, we're so important that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross to save us, to give us opportunity to get to heaven, to bring us back to Himself. That's how important you and I are. So we're here in Luke chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray and we'll continue. Father, I thank you for this passage that you have brought us to tonight. Lord, I feel confident that you have a message for us. Lord, I don't know the needs of your people. I don't even know my own needs. And I pray that you would meet our needs tonight. Speak through me and help me to relay your message to your people. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do what you would have us to do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, the picture here, as you read, and I know this is many times what you would read and maybe even preach on at Christmas time, because it's the story of Jesus coming to this earth as a babe in a manger. But what I want to look at here is this group of men called the shepherds. The question that we started out with tonight is, can God use me? But here is a group of men that live outside with sheep. One of the smelliest of all animals. How many of you ever had close contact with sheep? How'd you like that smell? They're similar to goats, but worse. Goats are bad enough. They stink so bad because of their super thick fur or wool, and it gets matted with manure, sweat, all kinds of other stinky stuff, and all that just stays there. The occupation of a shepherd was not very high rated. Kids of that day didn't grow up with the high anticipation of becoming a shepherd one day. In fact, they were lowly, poor, excluded people. Yet, they're the ones that God chose to show the coming of His Son to this earth. Remember Jesse's response to Samuel when he wanted to interview his sons, because God told him he's getting ready to anoint the next king of Israel, and it's going to be one of Jesse's sons. And Jesse proudly sent all of his sons in front of Samuel, and Samuel just didn't feel any vibes that it was any one of them. It happened to be the shepherd boy. In fact, he was so insignificant to Jesse that he didn't even bring him before Samuel until Samuel asked, "Don't you have any other sons?"
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, but he's out there with the sheep, taking care of the sheep. You want me to bring him in here? Yes. I'm not even going to sit down till he gets here. When he walked in, Samuel said, "That's him." Don't ever get the feeling that God can't or won't use you. These smelly shepherds seldom came into contact with civilization. How could God use them? But when you read the last verse that we read, verse 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Do you remember the disciples asked Jesus one time, "Jesus, was it this man who sinned or his parents?" And do you remember his response? He said, "Neither one of them." This has happened so that the Father will be glorified. Ultimately, everything that God has planned for you and I is to bring honor and glory to God. The good that we do, the pain that we suffer,
amen,
brings honor and glory to God. Or at least it should.
Amen.
Can God use me? Absolutely. The shepherds, they glorified God. They also encouraged Mary and Joseph. You know, the Holy Spirit spoke to both of them and told them what was going on. But if you've been there before you begin to doubt. You begin to wonder. Kind of like John the Baptist. Remember, he was in prison and he sent some of his disciples to ask Jesus if he was really the Messiah. John the Baptist. You know what Jesus said about John the Baptist? He says he is the greatest of all men. And even John the Baptist doubted. Sometimes it's good to have somebody come in behind and say, God's got this. God's using you. God is working through you. That's what the shepherds did for Mary and Joseph. They confirmed to them, this is for real. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Remember, the main reason that we are here is to bring honor and glory to God. Amen. In every aspect of our life. Like I said earlier, when you do a great job of something and somebody wants to give you praise and accolades for whatever it was, it's not your time to shine. It's God's. Give Him the glory.
Amen.
Here in Acts chapter 12, verse 21, the Bible says, and upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Herod lost his life because he did not give God the glory. He tried to absorb it all himself. And it probably felt real good for a few seconds until the angel struck. King Nebuchadnezzar, he was turned into an animal for 7 years for the same reason. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 24, Paul the Apostle says, and they glorified God in me. This was right after he gave his testimony to a group of people. Many of them, I'm sure, knew who he was before Christ. I like to consider that B.C., before Christ. And they knew he was a murderer of Christians and that he, was terrible, hated them. And now here he is preaching Christ. He's kind. And they glorified God in him. Can God use me? Oh yeah. When you allow the things that are happening in your life to glorify God, God's using you.
Amen.
Paul's testimony of regeneration calls these people to glorify God. Why? Because it's such a miracle. People do not change themselves. You don't turn over a new leaf. When love and compassion, kindness is leaking out of you, it's because of Jesus. It's not because of you.
Amen.
And that's why it's important that we bring honor and glory to God when that happens.
Amen.
The next thing that the shepherds did when they were there with Mary and Joseph, They encouraged them. Remember, Mary and Joseph, they just had a child in a barn. They had to lay Jesus in a feed trough. Then, they had some total strangers travel a pretty good distance to relay a message from a group of angels. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, probably not. But if somebody made that kind of a trip and said, God sent me to tell you, everything's going to be good. Yeah. That'd be encouraging to me. Amen. I've had people do that before. I don't know about you, but I've had people do that. Paul, he made a special note about a man by the name of Onesiphorus in 2 Timothy and how that he was a great encouragement to him. He talked about how that when he was in Rome, when Paul was in Rome in prison, that Onesiphorus, 900 miles away, found him. In fact, Paul used the word diligently found me. That means it required lots of effort. In fact, probably even lots of money. You didn't make a 900 mile trip back then and it not cost something. You don't do it today, but it's a lot easier today to make a 900 mile trip. I think Miss Ollie just got through doing something like that. But this guy, Onesiphorus, encouraged Paul, if for no other reason, that he made that trip just to see Paul. I'm sure when he got there, he had some encouraging words as well. But just to know that somebody cared enough about me to stop what they're doing. And for Onesiphorus, that meant he took a few months off from work. Because that's how long it took to make a trip like that. Just to encourage Paul. You know what Paul did? He prayed that God would bless Onesiphorus, but also his entire house, meaning his entire family. And I believe God did just because of it. Encouraging people is vital. God can use you to encourage other people. God smiles on us when we do that. If you would turn to Acts chapter 8, what I'm trying to do here is show you examples of how that God can use you and I today. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Philip was not a well-known preacher. In fact, he wasn't even a preacher. He was a layman. Yet God used him to witness to one man here. There was actually a great revival going on where Philip was. And God said, leave. Why? Because there was one man that he wanted Philip to talk to. Amen. And lead to him. Can God use you? Amen. You know, when you think of someone like Billy Graham, who has preached to literally millions of people. Yeah. All over the world. Many people have come to Christ because of the Billy Graham Crusades. And we think of ourselves and how difficult it is to speak to someone about Jesus. Sadly, many times I've been guilty of not being obedient to the Holy Spirit when He said, talk to that person. You may have been there. And many times we get to wondering, can God use me? Well, God used Philip to go to this one person and help him to understand the gospel so that he would get saved. There might be one person in your path this week that God wants you to talk to about Jesus.
Amen.
There might be one other person or two or who knows how many that God wants you to encourage. Now that takes a little bit of time. First thing it takes is for us to get our minds off of ourselves. It's hard to see the good in other people and what they're doing and the things that we could encourage them about when I'm only thinking about myself. And I know that because I tend to be quite selfish sometimes. I don't know about you, but until I can get my mind off of myself, I can't think about you and the things that I could possibly encourage you about. God can use you and I to shine the light of Jesus to some hurting person. Just this past week at some point, I'm not sure when it was, maybe Friday, I think it was, Brother Brian and Miss Angela had opportunity to share Jesus with a couple of people right up here at the church, homeless people. And I'm sure it was a divine appointment. I don't know where they were driving to when they were driving by. But for some reason they were driving by at that time, at the same time that they were here. And at the end of the story, they had heard the gospel. A divine appointment. We encounter these quite regularly. And sadly, many times we pass them up. God can use us. He puts the opportunities there. It's just that sometimes we avoid them. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. This verse helps us to see the kind of people that God wants to use. He says in verse 26, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." What's he saying here? He's saying it's not those people that seemingly are extremely intelligent, extremely wealthy, and extremely capable type of people. They're not the ones that God calls. Yes, He does use some of those people. Only because they have humbled themselves to reach out to Him and call out to Him and be willing to do what He said. But most of the people that God uses are the lowly, the humble. In fact, people who are proud, God can't use them while they're proud.
That's right.
He says in verse 29, same chapter, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Jesus handpicked 12 people as His disciples. And if you really look at these men, none of them were really well-to-do, highly intelligent. In fact, the Pharisees called them unlearned and ignorant men. But He chose them to turn the world upside down. And that's exactly what they did in His power. They were tax collectors, fishermen, And one of them was a traitor. Can God use me? That'll be up to you. Give God the glory for all of your accomplishments. Take the blame for your failures. Give God the glory when you're suffering. God can and will use you if you're usable. We're not usable in our pride. That means we have to be willing. We have to be humble, submitted, and believing on Him. God can use every single person in this room. Every day of the week. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word, and I thank You for helping us to see that You love us more than we understand, and that You want to use us. Lord, that You give us opportunities daily to shine for You and to bring honor and glory to You. Lord, help us to take these opportunities and to do just that. I thank You for that, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand, if you would. And turn to 505. We're going to sing, "Have Thine Own Way."